For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Couple minutes after 5 o'clock here on a Monday, Mets are off, licking their wounds after a brutal loss yesterday afternoon in San Diego. The Yankees are going down I-95. Your bi-yearly trip. Is that what it's called, bi-yearly, when you do something once every 2 years?
That sounds right.
Nah, it doesn't sound right.
Mets also aren't.
It would be biannual.
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 Yeah, but biannual I think could mean twice a year. What I mean is once every 2 years, the Yankees will go to Washington, D.C.
I think it's just simply the every other year trip to Washington,
D.C. I'm going
to
go with that. The every other year trip down to Washington, D.C., Yankees against the Nationals, the pregame show coming up in a little bit more than an hour. I'll get into traveling to Nationals Park and why it's worth it coming up in a few minutes, plus more of your calls. But right now, it's Cinco time.
Cinco de Five-O with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Five-O, I think, is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new pretzel Baconator today. All right. Babe Ruth had his cold shot.
Ugh.
The jersey he was wearing.
Yes.
Sold at an auction for $24.12 million,
wow,
setting the record for the most expensive sports collectible,
wow,
ever auctioned off. Think about that. Imagine if $24 million. Hey, yeah, I'll take that jersey.
Wow.
All right.
Off of an alleged called shot against Charlie Root in the World Series.
Well, that's neither here nor there. So, got me thinking, what are the top five sports memorabilia items I wish I owned and won at an auction?
All right, let's go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Number five.
A Kenyon Martin game-worn 2002 or 2003 headband from the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, it was badass when he was just beating up everybody.
Yeah.
2003 was a sweep against the Detroit Pistons. In the previous round, they annihilated the Boston Celtics.
Something cool to have from like a glory time.
Yeah, he imposed his. What, would you wear the headband or no?
Yeah, I think. But also, how cool would it be to have under glass when people went over and you just saw a headband sitting there with the sweat marks?
Like, yeah.
You know, what is this? It's the most random thing in the world.
Yeah, especially since most people would be like, Kenyon Martin.
Exactly.
Wasn't he a Nick once?
Well, he's one of my favorite Nets of all time.
Number four.
He's my favorite Net of all time. Mike Richter's goalie pads from the 94 Cup.
Yeah.
How cool would it be? Put those on every once in a while, make some saves in the living room.
So you would put them on?
I'd put those on.
That's the crazy thing about all these incredible memorabilia stuff. Most people, when they buy them, put them in their little case, and they just look at them.
No, I'd
you're basically
pads.
Saying I'm putting on Kmart's headband and I'm putting on Richter's pads.
Let's go to the garage and shoot some stuff.
Hey, you know, imagine how sweaty that would be. Making fun of Evan for not wearing deodorant. I mean, you know how disgusting those probably smell.
It's been 30 years. It's dried off.
Yeah, exactly. Hmm. And it's Febreze.
It doesn't dry off. It soaks in.
It smells
number
like,
three.
It smells like championships. Number three, I think, is a must-have. David Tyree's helmet from Super Bowl 42.
Yeah, I mean, it made a catch.
Come on.
Do you think he still has that helmet?
I bet you it's like, it probably alternates in and out of can.
Yeah.
That's like such a memorable, it's probably the most memorable helmet to own in NFL.
No, I understand, but David Tyree did not make millions upon millions upon millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So for him, selling that bad boy for, you know, a couple of mil could be worth it, man.
David Tyree doesn't even own the football that he caught.
Who owns the football?
Plaxico Burress.
Because of the touchdown a few plays later?
Yeah, he took it home.
Yeah, I mean, he did catch a touchdown. Like, I don't blame him for that.
Well, Tyree doesn't have the thing. Whatever. All right, here we go.
Number two.
I say this seriously. Alex Rodriguez underwear game worn any game 2009 season.
What?
Wouldn't you just love to know what A-Rod was wearing? Whitey tighty, silk boxers. But then to have it from the most prestigious year of all, 2009.
Yeah.
A-Rod, come on. That's better than a jersey or a bat. Imagine walking to somebody's house. That's A-Rod's underwear from 09? That's a conversation piece.
I would guess tighty whities. That would be my guess.
I think silk. He's probably got like some silk leopard printed. You know, maybe it's a thong. I don't know.
I was about to say maybe he goes thong. Yeah.
I think it's got the needle with the close to ball, you know, built into the pouch.
I don't know. But can we get to number one?
Number one.
The number one top five sports memorabilia item I wish I owned. I say this seriously. I think this can't be topped.
Mm.
I want the boat. The boat from the 2016 Giants trip in Miami. Park that bad boy in the driveway. Give me that boat.
The boat.
The boat.
The boat that led to a first-round exit at the hands of Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers?
Imagine putting that boat, imagine that putting that boat in the backyard, making it a kid's pirate ship or something, and people come over. What, you got a boat in the backyard? That's the boat.
I wonder where that boat even is now.
Right?
Like, a lot of these things you bring up. I mean, A-Rod's underwear has probably been thrown out. Like, where was your underwear from 20 years ago?
A-Rod doesn't throw out underwear.
You think he keeps his underwear from 20 years ago?
A-Rod strikes me the type of guy who keeps his fingernail clipping.
Who was he hooking up with during that World Series?
Was that Kate Hudson?
Yeah, because Kate Hudson was getting all the credit that she was bringing the luck to the Yankees' success.
Right.
All right, there you go. Cinco de Favo every day at 5 o'clock, and we did a better job. It was closer to 5 o'clock.
Kiss my fat ass!
So, you can tell me if I'm being too emotional about this. I have admitted in the past, I've had arguments on the air before with Tiki, with Craig back in the day, with many callers. I enjoyed the Mike White era, and I believed in Mike White, and I believe that given the opportunity and maybe a little bit more luck when it came to health, Mike White could have been the answer. And we were teased twice. First the Halloween tease, and then the following year.
Maybe we have something here, bro.
Maybe we have something with this guy, bro. And even going back to last year, I thought it was a mistake that the Jets decided to keep Zach Wilson for another year and let Mike White go to the Miami Dolphins. We all had the same fear a year ago. Mike White, upon signing with the Miami Dolphins, would come back and kill the New York Jets. Didn't happen. And a part of why that didn't happen is because Tua was healthy and Tua played. And there was never really a need for Mike White. Now you combine it with the emergence of Skylar Thompson, at least in the eyes of that overrated Miami-looking Mike McDaniel. Skylar Thompson is now the backup for the Miami Dolphins, and Mike White got cut. He was one of the roster casualties over the last 48 hours.
It's more about money.
It's about money, sure. But I also think it's about the fact they like Skylar Thompson.
Yeah.
You know, your backup quarterback matters, especially when your starting quarterback had a history of concussions. So I'm sure money is a factor, but a backup quarterback, and I can testify for this, is really important.
Yeah. Skylar Thompson played well in a playoff game already.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, they chose him. I don't think it's all about money. Certainly mattered. So I see Mike White was released. I tweeted this out yesterday, and I stand by it, and we can have a conversation about it now. I'd bring him in if I'm the Jets. Now, I'm bringing him in as a third stringer. I'm bringing him in as potentially a practice squad guy, which may not last long, I understand. Like, someone else may pick him up. I get that. But the New York Jets right now, and I was there Saturday night, do not have a third-string quarterback. With all due respect to Adrian Martinez and his family, and the Peasley family.
Peasley.
Those guys were here just to play football while the veterans didn't play. And while my sons loved watching Adrian Martinez hand a football to Izzy Abanaconda and then run, Adrian Martinez ain't playing for this team. But I have expressed this slight worry that I have. Slight worry. And my slight worry is Aaron Rodgers is 40. He's coming off an Achilles. There is no guarantee he's going to play 17 games. Tyrod Taylor is a backup that I love. I think he's a very good backup. I'd argue he's one of the best backups in the league. But Tyrod Taylor has a history of not being able to stay healthy.
Which is why he's not one of the best backups.
Totally. That's a point against him. Totally
we just learned this and lived this on the other side.
Who's the best backup quarterback in the NFL then?
Gardner Minshew.
Isn't he going to play? Isn't he the starter?
Did they name that yet? I thought Aiden O'Connell was going to be the starter.
I think he's going to be the starter.
Okay, so then Aiden O'Connell.
Okay. Aiden O'Connell's the best backup in the NFL.
Give me either one of those Raider guys.
You would take Aiden O'Connell over Tyrod Taylor?
I would. Yeah, I like his young upside.
That's ridiculous.
I watched him beat your team on Sunday Night Football. I was there.
Well, okay, we're talking about a backup quarterback.
This is not a knock on
for a handful of games, not the future. Yes, Aiden O'Connell has a high future potential, more so than Tyrod Taylor. But that's why you can predict the Jets to win as many games as you want. You're a hater.
I'm not a hater. Tyrod Taylor throws a great deep ball. I witnessed him not even know how many timeouts they had left versus Buffalo. But more importantly, every stop he goes to, he gets hurt. And the key to being a good backup quarterback, number one, is not to lose you games.
Yes.
Number two is you better be a guy who remains healthy and not plays reckless.
By the way, that part I agree with. And that's why when I see Mike White's available, I bring him in.
Yeah.
The Jets are going to need, potentially need, hopefully never need, but potentially need a third string quarterback.
Yeah.
And so I know the NFL just announced the NFLPA rejected the new potential rules for an emergency quarterback. But the Jets need a third quarterback, and Mike White's perfect.
Yeah.
Now, I was having arguments with friends. One guy said, the Jets can't bring that stench back. I was like, that stench?
Locker room loved him. They were wearing T-shirts.
He ain't the stench. The stench just balled out against a bunch of ninth stringers yesterday. That's the stench. So I am all for bringing Mike White back home.
Get in line. Giants need him more.
You want Mike White?
Mike White's better than Drew Locke. Mike White's better than Tommy DeVito. And if you're looking at him for your third quarterback, I'm looking at Mike White for my second quarterback.
You can't dump Drew Lock.
And if
that
Mike
quick.
White was a free agent at the same time Drew Lock is, I would hope that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll have the wherewithal to go, I'm going to go with Mike White.
But you're concerned about Tyrod Taylor's health. You could say the same about Mike White. Mike White's had a tough time staying healthy, too.
I totally get that, which is why I would keep DeVito, which is why I'm not dumping DeVito. DeVito's important as a third quarterback. Drew Lock, I watched enough of him in that week one of the preseason. I watched enough of Drew Lock's career in general. People fell in love with Monday Night Football when he beat the Eagles. Look, everything you want to say about bad quarterback play, and we've seen plenty in this town.
Yes.
Drew Lock stinks. Daniel Jones gets hurt, or they choose to rest him. I would much prefer Mike White giving me a chance to win a football game than I would Drew Lock.
Here's the problem. If the Giants are offering him the backup quarterback job and they're not, that's just Sean's fantasy.
Of course.
He would take that over the Jets because the Jets are not offering him the backup job. And I admit that. Like, you're not offering him a backup job. But you're giving yourself protection in case the worst case scenario happens, which is a 40-year-old off an Achilles can't stay healthy and a backup quarterback who always seems to get hurt at every stop can't stay healthy.
But that being said, if it comes down to Mike White versus Tommy DeVito for the third quarterback, I'm taking Mike White, too.
Wow, you've turned on Tommy.
I haven't turned on
this
Tommy.
This is the guy that you cried about last year. I think we have our quarterback.
Tommy DeVito is also better than Drew Lock. I'm saying if I was running...
My God, you're so down on Drew
I am.
Lock.
I'm just telling you, if I was running the team, Drew Lock would not be here. But I have to play within the lines of which my general manager and coach are running the team. If it comes down to it, I would rather have a guy like Mike White trustworthy down the line to do that. I would hate to give up on DeVito because I do think he can develop into a backup quarterback in this league. But he takes 1,000 sacks.
Oh, my God.
You know? I mean, the offensive line also terrible.
Yeah, so Saturday night is maybe not the best representation because nobody was playing.
No, I mean, and half the guys blocking for Drew Lock are going to be mixing paint at Lowe's.
But with that said, and you tell me if I'm wrong, because you're Mr. I watch every preseason game, correct?
Yeah.
Did you watch every snap of that preseason game on Saturday?
Not only did I watch every snap, like I said.
You say this so proudly.
I was up, and I had my eyes on SMU Nevada, which nobody cares about but me.
I care.
Evan, I went to FanDuel when Tommy DeVito got the ball back with 2 and change.
Oh, God.
Giants were plus 250 on the money line.
Oh, come on.
I think DeVito's going to end the preseason with a touchdown drive here. And I bet the Giants in the 2-minute drill of a third preseason game on the money line. So I was up with it.
I commend you for that. I admit I didn't even see that part. I went to the first half in my new season ticket, which I will give you a review coming up. And Tommy DeVito was not only getting assaulted because his backup-to-backup offensive line was trash, but you have to admit, a lot of that is awareness. A lot of that is holding on the ball too long.
Yeah.
Like, some of those sacks are not just squarely on, hey, the offensive line's stuck. Hey, Tack McKinley's battling for a job. Like, Tommy DeVito made some... He has the pocket awareness of my kid.
And if I were to slightly downgrade Tommy DeVito and be honest...
Did you like that line?
I like that line.
Is that insulting to my kid? I said, kid, it could be either one of them.
I'm going to back up Evan's point like this. Forget taking the sacks. Forget all of this. And this isn't even like a Loogie wants him to start thing. You know what Tommy DeVito can't do? And it's the second time I've seen him now do this in the preseason. You cannot slide for a first down a yard short and get up and point for the first down. And he did that on Saturday night. I went nuts again. Dude, know where the sticks are. And if you don't know where the sticks are, don't point.
Yeah.
Don't point for a first down when you're a yard short.
So here's why I think I fell in love with my brand new season tickets at MetLife Stadium.
Okay.
Because I don't know about you guys, and this isn't just for season tickets. This is for when you go to a sporting event. You have some kind of prerequisites on where you sit or things that matter to where you sit. And obviously they matter a little bit more when they're a season ticket because you go there often.
Yeah.
Number one is access to get the hell out. Very important to me.
Yeah.
When a game is over, I want to leave. I don't want to stick around. I don't want to be stuck. I don't want to have to walk around because MetLife Stadium is not exactly greatly constructed. Yeah. It's a monstrosity of a building. Yeah.
Why do we have those stairs bent down there? Just keep the whole bowl together.
I don't get
it. Give me the old ramps back.
I don't understand. So the first thing I noticed was, oh my God, the exit is right behind my gate. Which is, I'll tell you where I sit. I don't really care. 339, which is 50-yard line upstairs. So right there, as soon as you walk past the ramp, the exit. You can get out and you got a lot of walking because it's the top of the building. But okay, get out there real quick. That's perk number one that I loved. Number two. The baño.
You need that.
The baño is, by the way, bathroom in Espanol.
Yeah.
Very, very important, especially at a football game. I've told this story before. I think I did last week, that when I was at Jets Chargers many years ago, the playoff game in the divisional round, the Mark Sanchez era, I had to go to the bathroom so badly, but the lines were so long. I never went to the bathroom, and it actually destroyed my bladder all these years later.
That's
why I have
problems.
A terrible bladder, yeah.
Still got problems.
It's all because of Jets Chargers. The Bano is right there.
Which is huge. And you got to, Evan, I'm going to tell you this.
Got to go quick.
I go to more football games than you. You got to, that's got to be a call 30 seconds left or something. Or you know, you got to sense a break coming.
You got to sense the timeout.
Right.
Sometimes that's easy.
Right.
Sometimes you don't know. You got to fly.
Yeah.
But it's quick. Like where I sit at Barclays
Center. If it's right by your stairs, you're good.
Right there. I'm telling you, it's like 15 yeah. feet. The other thing, so those are two for two. I'm two for two so far.
All right.
Here's number three. Great concessions. Right there, too.
Hmm.
The hot dogs, the chicken fingers, the Mrs. Fields cookies.
Oh, I got one of those last Saturday at MetLife.
Oh,
good.
Did you go rainbow?
No.
M&M's?
I did the like the brownie cookie thing there.
Yes.
Oh.
Freaking amazing. Oh, yeah. So very quick access to all the concessions. So those were the three for three that I really like. And then obviously watching the game, I'm on the 50-yard line, second row.
Yeah.
But I ask people, can I ask people a question?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you got to stand? Like, I don't understand.
It's a football game, Evan.
If you're in the first row, I know, I'm not being a jerk. I'm asking a question. We're having a conversation. If you're sitting in the first row, okay, and let's say, all right, Aaron Rodgers throws a bomb downfield. Why are you standing? You're in the first row. You don't need to stand. It's right there in front of you.
You do, because you feel the energy. It's the one sport we still have in this country where you feel as a fan, you're a part of the energy in the building, and it's a natural reaction to jump up out of your seat. What you have to promise me, and I know this stinks, you cannot become down in front guy at the Meadowlands.
I'm never down in front guy.
There's too many Giant fans that are down in front people. They bring their little celery, the carrots in a bag, the yellow peas. Get down.
I'm going to be honest. I'm using the bully pulpit, right? I'm using the microphone to express an opinion and a question.
All right.
I will never tell a human being to not stand at a sporting event. I'll never do it. Because you pay your money, you're very excited. I think we're calm right now. It's Monday afternoon. There's no Jet game or Giant game right now. I'm just having an open dialogue. I'm just asking why.
That's
all I'm asking.
I think it's just
I'm not going to lecture anybody.
It's a natural, hard-to-control emotion at a football game.
Well, maybe we should work on it.
No. Maybe you should work on standing your ass up behind that person.
I don't want to stand up. Like, I want to sit there and watch the game. And then, here's the other problem. If I stand up, I feel like the person behind me is mad at me for standing
up. No, they're not, because they're at a football game, and it's an unwritten rule that, you know, you got to think. By the way, they play. It's third down. Get up.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Well, then go to football game. Maybe the season tickets weren't for you.
No. You're missing my point. When I go to Brooklyn Net games or even Knick games and Met games, I'm always in the first row. So I set the tone for never standing up.
Well, Evan, I take it back to a three-week-long conversation. You had an opportunity to be a first-row ticket.
I had a 10-yard line first row or a 50-yard line second row.
So you opted for the second row for the better seats. Newsflash, deal with the people in front of you standing.
I think I don't have to deal with it. But I liked it. I actually had a good time. Kids had a good time. Preseason is great for families. It's not great for, like, football fans because it's not real football. But I think when you want to take your kid to a game and not feel a lot of pressure of the game, it's a great feeling.
Did you get him a tailgate experience?
What was that?
Did you tailgate at all? Whatever?
Absolutely not.
You didn't break out a table, break out some sandwiches or something?
Did I ever tell you about the time I went to a Jet game with a Dolphin fan and he dressed as a Dolphin?
Yes. This is now the third time in a year I've worked with you.
Do you want to hear from that guy?
Okay, sure.
Steve in Howard Beach. Steve, tell Sean how you dressed like a Dolphin one time.
Well, I'll get to that, but what I
wanted
to...
No, I'm the boss. You're going to get to it now. If you don't want to get to it now, I'll move on.
Me and Evan used to work out together. I'm a big Dolphin fan. We went to Jets Dolphins. Dolphins won the division that night. Brett Favre against who the hell was our quarterback?
No, you're a quarterback. You're a fraud. You're a fraud. You're a fraud.
Cleo Lemon.
No, your quarterback was Chet Pennington. You idiot.
But I said moron. So
no, I didn't hear you say it, moron.
I had all my Dolphin gear. I had these lights on that you could see from the other side of the stadium. And at the end of the game, we captured the victory, won the division, and all the Jet fans left in embarrassing fashion. The Dolphins were very happy, and it was a great time. I'll send you a picture. Open your text.
I already have a picture. I saved it on my phone, and I want to tell you, I learned a lot that day. Okay? I learned a lot from this man.
Okay.
I learned how to eat healthy, which I've forgotten 65% of it.
Yeah.
But I also learned where not to sit at a football game. Because where we sat for that game, I have to tell you, was the single worst seat ever. It was low down.
Okay.
Steve, I don't know, he's one of those idiots who wants to sit close, but we were in the end zone. You couldn't see a damn thing. That's number one. The other thing is, and I hope you take this deep into your heart when I say this, that was the single worst experience of my life. I don't think I've had a worse day as a sports fan than sitting at that football game, especially with you. No offense.
That was, this is an honor to hear that from you.
It's an honor.
Can't curse.
Jeez.
This guy,
jeez.
I finally take this numbskull's phone call and he drops an F-bomb. I gotta let him go. I don't even know what he was going to say, but that guy dressed as a dolphin to go to a Jet Dolphin game. I want you to imagine that. Imagine dressing like a mammal, because a dolphin's a mammal.
Imagine dressing like an airplane if you were a Jet fan.
I wouldn't. Oh, yeah, some people do.
Oh, God. Jet.
Doesn't that guy in the first row?
Jetman.
Yeah, Jetman dresses like an airplane.
Calm down.
But don't you think that's less dumb than dressing as a dolphin?
I guess. I think it's all dumb. Just wear your jersey and cheer your team.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You never dressed like a giant?
The jerk, right? The joke writes itself, jerk. Yes.
That's a good point. Yankees continue their stretch against, let's just say it, bad to mediocre baseball teams. The Washington Nationals are one of them. And the Yankees are playing three down in D.C. I've grown to like this stadium. I went to Nationals Park for the first time when it opened back in 2008. And I think the reason why it was very blah to me is it was in the middle of nowhere. They popped that stadium up and there was nothing around it. But if you go back now, it's popping. There are restaurants, there are hotels.
Entertainment district.
Oh, yeah. Like, okay. They started building stuff around that ballpark. So it's very cool. It's a nice trip. So if you're a Yankee fan, maybe you're not going tonight, but maybe you have some vacation days as we lead into Labor Day. That's a good little baseball trip. Washington, D.C., and then you pop in, check out Congress. Could go in there. Oh, actually, wait, they're not working. Forget that. I take that back. I did that once. Yeah, me and my dad popped into the United States Congress and watched... I think one of the parties was out, and so the other party was trying to make them look dumb by having a debate with nobody there. And we watched. Yeah, you could just walk right into the Congress. Yeah,
I didn't know that. And they take, like, I would assume...
People's House, Sean, People's House.
But I assume Congress would be kind of like WFA, and there's always somebody working.
Well, not really. They're all out of session. They're all a bunch of lazy, you know...
Okay.
Yeah, they're very lazy, yeah. But you actually can pop your head in. Now, if you want to visit the White House, you got to ask a congressperson... Then they do a background check on you, and then you can visit the White House.
Evan, don't give him too much information. This might be in the Jeopardy question.
That's true.
Don't give him too much information.
Yeah, I got to think of a name for it. There's going to be a trivia competition just on world knowledge and, you know, various things involving Sean Morash, Tommy Lugauer, and Big Mac, our overnight guy. I think we're calling it, I don't know, I have to think about it.
Yeah, it could be copyrighted, so let's scratch
it. We're not calling it Jeopardy.
Of course
not. We're calling it a moron off. Maybe that's what we'll call it.
Spoiler alert, Evan will have an AI song that goes along with it.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That's a good call. Let me write that.
It's a very good idea, Sean.
You could call it Two and a Half Men, and Loogie's the half.
look at boy.
Oh, man.
Throwing shots. Yeah, I'll think of something. The Yankees play the Nationals, though, like I mentioned. Their starting lineup is brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official. He's going to be so upset, Loogie. Boyle's going to call me a half a man?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be very upset with you. The Yankees starting lineup is brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. I think you guys will mostly be happy with this. They are facing another lefty. The Yankees are in the midst of facing, I'm not even kidding, four consecutive left-handed starters. They faced one yesterday in Austin Gomber, and this entire series against the Nationals, they are facing three lefties in a row. Mitchell Parker tonight, Patrick Corbin tomorrow, don't worry, he sucks, and Mackenzie Gore on Wednesday. But the good news is, don't worry, Austin Wells is playing.
Thank God.
Gleyber Torres leads off at second, Juan Soto in right, Aaron Judge in center, Giancarlo DHing. Austin Wells behind the plate. Anthony Volpe at shortstop. Jazz Chisholm down to seven at third base. DJ LeMahieu at first base. And Alex Verdugo bats ninth and plays left field.
Boy, does Boone love him some DJ LeMahieu. I mean,
well, these are the sequences where you're going to play him. I mean, you're not going to play Ben Rice, who hasn't hit lefties, hasn't really hit that much recently. And so this is your lane, as they like to say, for DJ to play.
Oswaldo Cabrera does have a first baseman. And I don't want to hear about lefties.
Yeah, no, I get you. Well, you have to hear about lefties because they don't have lefties.
Okay.
That's why you have to hear about it.
DJ LeMahieu doesn't hit anybody.
Nah, DJ's a problem. And the other guy's a problem is Alex Verdugo. I know he showed a little bit of a pulse this weekend, but it's TikTok, TikTok.
Yeah.
Jason Dominguez on September 1st. Let's go.
Better be here. Better be here.
I agree. Nestor Cortez on the mound. So here's the question. And I asked you this question a week and a half ago, and I ask it to you again because I think it's always evolving. And Yankee fans, I want you to play alone at home. Play along at home. You're in the postseason. You're in the divisional series. Why? Because you won the American League East. Congratulations. Your game one starter is?
Gerrit Cole.
All right, nice and easy. Nice little easy start to this game, Gerrit Cole. Your game two starter is?
It's still Luis Gil. I think that this is a fake IL stint.
Really?
I do.
He walked six guys and left with back spasms.
I understand. I'm not sure how real those back spasms were. I think he got a little tired. I think they said, let's shut him down for 2 weeks here.
Really? So even with Gil not pitching well in that start,
yeah,
and obviously not being the same dominant guy he was earlier this season, you are still maintaining Luis Gil as your game two starter?
Because I believe this IL stint is going to do him wonders.
Well, we'll have to see, though. We'll have to see him come back and actually pitch.
Remember, whenever they kind of like skipped the start, whatever happened around the All-Star, but he came back out and he had like those two awesome starts
in
a row. I kind of sense that we're going to get a little of that in October.
His last two starts before going on the IL, four innings, four runs against the White Sox,
yeah,
a loss.
That's been great.
Three innings, three runs, six walks against the Guardians. Not a loss, but a game they would go on to lose. So his last two starts, seven innings, seven runs. And you are still maintaining as your game two starter.
Maintaining him.
I respect that. All right, game three starter is...
It's Rodon.
So you flip-flopped on that. No, you stuck with that.
I stuck with it.
You're sticking with it. What about Nestor and Marcus?
I still...
Stroman's been a lot better.
Stroman was very good yesterday, although that first inning could have got out of hand real quick. I know it was defensive problems that led to a lot.
Doesn't it always seem to be defensive problems behind Marcus Stroman?
It does, for sure.
What's up with that?
It's going to be very hard for Nestor Cortez to ever crack my top three again.
Back-to-back seven scoreless innings.
I understand that.
What if he does that again tonight?
Look who they faced.
So the opponents are disqualifiers?
Nestor Cortez, ironically, is a lot like the reverse of what we used to say about A-Rod and even Giancarlo Stanton. He feasts on bad lineups. Like, those guys feasted on bad pitching in the game.
All right, and your game four starter?
It would, if we had to start at game four and we're not sweeping in. Oh, no, I guess there's no more best of fives, right?
No best of five, yeah. Divisional series of best of five.
So I'm assuming we sweep, so we don't need a game four
starter. No. Your game four starter is? Can't play that game.
It's Stroman.
Okay. But believe it or not, in the divisional series, they won't need a fourth starter. I'm talking more big picture ALCS. Right. Wow. All right. So Sean is stuck, despite recent trends, with Cole, Gil, Rodon as his 1-2
Rodon.
Three. Yeah, Rodon.
Rodon.
Yeah, Carlos Rodon.
Rodon.
That's what I just said.
I side with Evan on this.
Rodon?
If he's actually of Hispanic heritage, which he is, right?
Don't do this.
What are you doing, Pat? It's 5:37. Put the fries in the bag, bro.
I'm being dead serious. Don't tell me put the fries in the bag. What are you, Gen Z? It would be Rodon. That's the Spanish O. It's an O. It's not on.
I relinquish this debate. We're going to go with Rodon.
Wow.
Is that what you said? Rodon or Rodon?
Rodon.
Yeah, according to Baseball Reference, it's R-O-H-D-O-N-N. So that's Rodon.
So you don't have to roll the R? Because Pat was rolling the R's.
Carlos Rodon.
Rodon. What is Gen Z? What does that mean?
Bag them up, put the fries in the bag. That's like a Gen Z TikTok thing.
Is it?
At least I thought it was.
Well, why did you say to Pat Boyle, put the fries away?
Just
like, what was the point of that?
Put the fries in the bag.
Oh, we know what that means.
Wow, just do your job?
We know what that
Sean
means.
Sean has now taken shots at teachers and fast food drive-through workers.
Yes. He also basically told you to shut up and dribble.
Exactly what he told him to do.
That's what he told you to do. Let's go to Tyler calling from Caldwell, New Jersey. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, guys. Happy Monday. So I wanted to talk about two things. First thing, it's very obvious that the Yankees should bring Soto back. I don't think anybody disagrees with that.
Oh, of course.
But, yeah, absolutely. But the one thing that people don't necessarily talk about, and I understand it was a long time ago, And it's really hard to knock on Judge for anything. I'm not knocking on Judge. But the one thing I will say is that Juan Soto at 19 years old carried the Nationals in the playoffs.
Yes,
and Judge has not necessarily done that yet for the Yankees. I think if he were to go on a tear like that, that would completely cement his legacy if it hasn't been cemented already.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to quickly say that. And my one other thing, and I hear this a lot on the station, this whole notion that Yankee fans are spoiled is totally ridiculous. And for somebody who was born in 2003 and doesn't have any recollection of 2009, you know, I'm honest enough to say that. Mm-hmm. So we've really seen, we haven't seen the Yankees make the World Series. And forget about that. The Yankees are the most valuable team in the Northwestern Hemisphere, and outside of any soccer clubs, the most valuable team on the planet. So with that, you should have expectations of the best at everything. The best general manager, the best players in the lineup, the best manager for the team, the best personnel in any other department in that front office.
Well, and also spending the revenue at the same pace that you spent the revenue in the late 90s, which is also a factor. I think it's always tough when you generalize a fan base. Our last caller says he was born in 2003, which means he's...
Is that right? 21 years old?
Yeah, we have 21-year-old listeners. What's the problem?
I think that's great. I just can't believe how deep and perfect his voice is.
You're impressed by his maturity?
I sound like a 7-year-old compared to him.
No, he's
he also knew what hemisphere we're in. I have no idea.
He paid attention in school. That's the difference. I think that if you are of that age, how are you spoiled? You haven't seen anything. I mean, you've seen regular season success. You've seen postseasons, but you haven't seen any winning, ultimate winning, kind of like me. So it's tough. I think Yankee fans are all very, very different. Is Sean Morash a spoiled Yankee fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think you qualify as that.
Definitely.
Is Chris McMonagle a spoiled Yankee fan? He doesn't. I don't think he is, no.
No, he is.
I don't think he is.
He is because he still thinks Brian Cashman's awesome because he was spoiled by those championships.
No, I think the opposite would happen then. I think if you're spoiled, you say, no, I honestly, it's not monolithic. Does that make sense to
There's different versions of spoiled.
There's different versions of spoiled. I want to get back to one thing you said about Soto and Judge. There's no doubt that Juan Soto accomplished a lot already in his major league career, especially with the Nationals. Nobody who's a Yankee fan cares.
No.
Doesn't matter. His success in October with the Nationals, and to a degree the Padres, means absolutely nothing. Aaron Judge's failures here, yeah, that's going to be one of the biggest things he's got to get off his back come postseason time, whether it's this year or next year. Juan Soto, though, has made something very, very clear, and I kind of admire this in a way. He's not a BSer. You know, some people BS. I think we all BS in our own way. It's tough to be in an environment. Like, if Sean Morash was at a crowd filled with Met fans, and they're like, Sean, do you think the Mets are going to make the playoffs? It'd be very easy in that environment to get a cheap pop, to say, yes, they are.
Right.
And everybody cheers and it's easy. Juan Soto, if you missed it at yesterday's Yankee game, especially I think it was after the back-to-back-to-back home runs, was serenaded with chants about him coming back. He's asked about it after the game. And instead of giving any kind of like fluffy, rose-colored answer, he said the cold, hard truth. Talk to Brian Cashman.
Yeah.
And I think that's Juan Soto's way. And really, it's not Brian Cashman. It's Hal Steinbrenner, if we're being fair about this. I think that's Juan Soto's way of saying, yeah, I love it here, but come on, guys.
Right. Don't put that on me.
It ain't on me.
They're going to have to pay me.
It's on them.
Right.
And by the way, if he takes every dollar in free agency, who can honestly blame him?
No,
he doesn't owe the Yankees anything.
And that's the thing. If Juan Soto's not a Yankee after all this, no fan is going to hate Juan Soto, nor should they.
I don't know. I think it goes different with a lot of people.
Oh, no, no, no.
People hated Robbie Cano and said he's an idiot. He took the money to go to Seattle. Screw him.
This is different. The fans have had it with the general manager. They will have had it with Hal Steinbrenner if he's not signed here. It will not be an anti-Soto.
So if he takes, let's just say, name the team. I know it's triggering to say the Mets, so
well,
we don't have to use the Mets.
No, we can say the Mets.
The Mets offer him 12 years, $675, which is an absurd amount of money, by the way, but not that absurd when you do the math.
The Yankees better offer 12 for $676.
$675 divided by 12 is $56 million a year. Kind of think about it, not crazy. And the Yankees come in with 12 years, $600. Okay? So the Mets offer $75 million more. Really, I think that's about $4 or $5 million more per season. And Juan Soto and Scott Boras say, yeah, we're going to go with that one.
No, we're furious at Steinbrenner. We're furious at Cashman. We're not furious at Juan Soto.
You don't think there'll be Yankee fans saying, come on, it's the Yankees, the history, the chance to win.
No,
a loser.
No, what Yankee fans will do to cope is they will turn to you and every other Met fan and go, you know, Aaron Judge was better. And you know, they'll do that kind of thing. There won't be hate towards Soto. They'll be downplaying his value to Met fans while angry at Steinbrenner and Cashman.
I got you. Look, Juan Soto has done everything this season to tell you and show you what he's worth. But... yeah, I still think it comes down to money with this guy.
And they're going
to
do it.
And I don't blame him for that. And I commend him, not for, because he didn't tell you anything. He didn't say, I'm going to the Giants or I'm going to the Mets. He said, go talk to Cashman.
He said the right thing.
He said they're going to have to pay me, essentially.
Right. Which we all know, and the Yankee fans know.
And look, this is just my prediction on this. I hear this all the time, whether it's on social media or it's right here on WFAN. If the Yankees win the World Series, this helps. If the Mets make the playoffs, it helps them. If they miss the playoffs, it kills them. I got to be honest with you. I think it's just going to come down to the paycheck.
Not the Oakland A's give him $900 million to go play in Sacramento. He's going.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I know that's the extreme and not going to happen because John Fisher is the worst owner in the history of sports. But I agree with you. I think sometimes we overanalyze this. Like, he's probably just going to want the biggest contract.
Remember, he's already won a World Series. So he's checked that off his box already.
Yes.
So it's about the money.
But here's what I do want to know.
All right.
And there isn't much time left in this show, so I may have to get the answer tomorrow. When the crowd was chanting, bring back Soto, and I think that was the exact chant, bring back Soto?
Yeah.
You could see Juan said something to the right field crowd. Mm-hmm. Did you notice that?
Did.
You guys notice that?
I did.
Look like he said something. What did he say? Did he say the same thing? Go talk to Cashman and the crowd laughed? Did he say, don't worry, it's in the bag? Did he say, I don't know, pay me, bitches? Did he say, I prefer Queens? Did he say, I'm kind of a West Coast guy? Like, what did Juan Soto say? If you sat in the right field seats.
Three words. That's the plan.
You think that's what he said?
That's the plan.
I don't have no idea.
That's the plan.
You think that's what he said?
Yeah, and I think that is the plan. But the plans could go awry, as we all know.
Oh, of course. Free agency is a scary, scary place. But Yankee fans, don't think about this. Don't even chant, we want Soto. You know you want Soto. Just remember, just go win.
Just
and then
win,
you
baby.
Worry about November. That's my attitude.
I agree. When we're carving the turkey, we'll worry about it then.
Absolutely. One thing we all have in common is not liking the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones was asked earlier today by Clarence Hill, like, hey, would you ever remove yourself as the general manager of the Dallas Cowboys? And his answer was, I've done it all. So I have an inordinate amount of confidence that if anybody can figure out how to get this bleep done, I can figure out how to get it done.
Ugh.
I've been there every which way from Sunday, and have I busted my ass a bunch, and there's nobody living that's out cutting and shooting that can't give you a bunch of times they busted their ass. So hell no. There's nobody that could bleeping come in here and do all the contracts and be a GM any better than I can. Plus, I'm where the buck stops. When it bleeps up, I got to cover it. And so there, you can't give anybody enough. Can't give. There's nobody can do it.
Oh, what a senile lost owner. The last time his team made an NFC Championship game, Levon Hernandez had even defected to the United States yet.
I like that one.
How about that?
I wouldn't have thought that as the comparison. I usually go to administrations. Like, that's what I usually do. Like, oh, it was Bill Clinton's first term. Like, that really applies it. But in your case, you're going with, like, an inner sports reference.
Yeah. And I think it was a good one because it made you think, okay, when did I see Levon Hernandez?
An obscure one at that.
Yeah.
Right. Levon Hernandez.
Speaking of obscure, I watched a Bill Clinton-Bob Dole presidential debate on YouTube the other night.
God. There's got to be something else on TV, Evan.
No, I mean, I'm in the presidential mood, so I wanted to watch, like, random debates that nobody remembers. So I watched, Bill Clinton against Bob Dole. Bob Dole was funny. Can I give you a line that Bob Dole used?
Absolutely.
So Bill Clinton was given the whole, like, oh, you're better off today than you were 4 years ago, because he was running on a popular economy. So the guy says, or the moderator says, hey, Bob, do you agree that people are better off? And Bob's like, well, I know he's better off than he was 4 years ago. And I'm laughing.
Not a bad line.
I'm like, that's a funny line. Meanwhile, he got smacked in the election.
Mm.
I was going to ask you who the moderator was, because I was curious about...
I honestly don't remember who the moderator was. I fell asleep halfway through the said debate. But I did watch it. Yeah, I'm watching a lot of random old debates. I find it kind of a good way to go to sleep. By the way, if you're watching on SNY, stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. That's coming up next on SNY. I don't know about you, but you don't go to sleep with YouTube on?
No, I go to sleep with no TV on, pure darkness, pure silence.
Really? You're one of the silenters. Interesting.
Silence. My kids have like white ambient noise in their rooms.
Yeah.
If I have to like lay with them, I get a migraine. I can't do it. And it's a certain time of night, all the lights have to be off except for a TV, even like in the living room.
See, I love to have something on. So I've been listening to Aaron Rodgers' book, Ian O'Connor, the author. And the problem with going to sleep with a book on,
you got to rewind it.
Is, yeah, you got to find out where you fell asleep. And I always find that challenging. And with YouTube videos, it's different. Like, oh, great, I fell asleep in the middle of a Bill Clinton, Bob Dole presidential debate. No big deal.
No.
Last night, I fell asleep in the middle of the Greg Maddux documentary on MLB Network.
So, again, another riveting endorsement. It must be real exciting.
No, it was very good. I was very tired. I think the debate was two nights ago, and last night was the Maddux. No, the Maddux doc is good.
So you don't sit there and just go, I'm tired, let me turn this off and go to bed?
No.
That's so weird to me.
No, I can't do it. Got to have something on to put myself to
sleep.
And
the AirPods are in?
I go back and forth between letting the sound just be out there and using headphones. When I'm in bed with my wife, I will just have the sound on, which drives her nuts.
Yeah.
Really? If I end up, you know, with one of my kids waking up, I'll put the headphones on because God knows what I'm listening to. I don't want them waking up just citing Bob Dole and Bill Clinton's politics from 1996.
Or you never know if a debate runs into like an X-Videos. You know what I mean?
You never know what pops up next. And I don't like falling asleep with headphones on. I prefer the sound just kind of be out there.
And I'd wake up, my headphone would be out, I'd lose it.
Well, that's why I hate AirPods, because I lose them all the time. Like, that AirPod pops out, you can never find it again.
Scary. I get scared crossing a New York City street thinking it's going to end up in a sewer.
Oh, that happened to me once when I was biking. Oh. Speaking of Greg Maddux, I do want to bring this up tomorrow. We don't have time, as you hear the show is ending. And I'll reveal the inner details of this. I don't know if you know this, but I grew up for a long time really liking Greg Maddux. Yeah.
Of course.
And obviously it flipped once he became a rival of the Mets, but I actually found myself as a big Maddux scout. Get into that maybe a little bit tomorrow.
I grew up loving Pedro.
Did you really?
No.
Oh.
Because I'm a fan.
Well, so am I. I'm explaining that it changed. I'll get into it tomorrow. Now you're pissing me off.
All right, I'll see you.
Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. All right, we're leaving. Boyle, Rosie, great work. We're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Yankee baseball's next. Enjoy. Goodbye.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.